Okay. Today is 25th, huh? 25th February 2016. Yeah. We are still early. Huh? We got another 6 minutes to go before we start the puja. So in front of you, there is a book that we just printed not too long ago. It's called Understanding Awareness in Every Breath We Take, Every Thought We Create, and Every Move We Make in Cultivation. This one is based on the transcript of the Q&A of the talk that I delivered in Klang, Tiratana Center, dated 27 November 2015 last year. It's a very good short transcript of the Q&A and the answers that I gave. You read through, it will help you to understand sati or mindfulness in a much clearer manner. Then there's also a new chanting book in front of you. So from today onward, we will start using the new chanting book. And we also got extra copy if you need to have it. This one on the, I think, content page, we got chop. The Kayanamitas means this copy is for Kayanamita to use on the Tuesday, Thursday or Sunday classes. So if you want, you collect the copy without the chop. In the meantime, if you got anything you want to ask, you can. Not only that, because you see, the Forehead Sermon is a special sutta to actually awaken the cultivator at that time. And it was called the Fire Sermon was because there was a group of monks at that time, I think 1,000, following the fire. They believe in the fire god that has that power and all things. So what Sakyamuni wanted them to develop is the Dhamma, the understanding, because their mind has already been trained. So when he spoke the fire sermon, he is talking about not only the 18 sense rhyme, all of the dependent origination, the 12 link within the form and mind. No. God, but that one is just a small part within the dependent origination. Where that one is the three physical, the five and the mind, which is the physical senses. Then the sense data, then the consciousness. So these are three. But within dependent origination, there are 12 of this link, and each of this link got 6. And sometimes it's more. So that's why he said, initially, he said, the eye is burning. We use the eye to see a lot of things. Then after that, the sense data, sense impression, they are burning. Then after that, contact is burning. then consciousness that arises is burning. Then feeling is burning. Means every of the link is burning. So you have to see the danger of all this, what they call defilement that arises at each and every link. So when you are clear, then you do not lapse into heedlessness, because it's very easy to lapse into heedlessness. So when you go through the fire sermon, it reminds you of every of these links, that they are burning. And burning with what? It reminds you, burning with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you realize that, then you know how to reverse it through an understanding. We will go through it again when we are at the retreat, where the sermon is very good. Okay. Now we can start off puja, 8:10. So today I leave it to Sui Han to name. Mi Fong light the candle and... Oh, help them light candle and incense. So who are the lucky three? Or two? Minjun, you are going back already. Minjun, Minjun, come. Then Jinhao. Okay, good. Then the rest can stand. We get ready for puja. Start off with the tree, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Eh? Compose your mind, eh? Develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then mindfully we will start the puja. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Arahang sammasambuddho bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then in front of you, there's a new chanting book. Huh? From now onward, we will use this first revised edition as our new chanting book. Huh? This one, we should thank Sister Padmasuri, Brett Hill, and even Sister Egbi and all Kayanamitas, because they are the people who had helped formalize this particular first revised edition, and Kayanamita Fund donated for this printing of the chanting book for free distribution. So this copy which you have in front of you, on the content page, there is a blue chalk at the bottom, my Kayanamita. So don't take this copy. This one is for our sharing during our Thursday class or Tuesday class and Sunday class. You want a copy, you can take the one without the chalk. If you don't have, you let us know. We will actually arrange for you to have a copy each. Okay, now we turn to... This one, the paging has been changed, page 1. So, the first part, salutation to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, we have already done. So now we will start off with Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata weramani sikapadang samadhiyami Adinadana weramani sikapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara weramani sikapadang samadhiyami Musawada weramani sikapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana weramani sikapadang samadhiyami Now you are Chandi Padipa Puja. Ganna sarapa ditena ditena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganna sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami moninjasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena Punnena matena ca motu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaye Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pali pari kapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojana pari kapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind. And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give you a pay respect, Tripaja. Vedang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. Today, before we start the meditation, I just want to remind some of you who are new. This new chanting book, you go back, you should read through the English translation so that you understand what you are chanting. Then this puja chanting, or what they call devotional practice that we do, these are recommended practice given by the Buddha. It is to help us develop the faith, the spiritual faculties, so that you can understand his spiritual teaching easily. Then this puja chanting book has a lot of things inside there. They also have the 5 daily contemplation at the back. Then they also have the verses for asking for forgiveness. They are all at the back. Then we also have incorporated the Heart Sutta, the Great Compassionate Mantra. Then in between, you also have the other important sutta. So this sutta, they are very useful, especially the dependent origination. Dependent origination, the dwelling of paticca-samuppada, is very important. Then we also have what they call how to make aspiration. You have to invoke power of merits to help you to make aspiration. To walk this path, to develop the understanding of the teaching, is not easy. First, you need to understand without the spiritual faculties, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. The mental hindrance, the opposite 5, will be very powerful. That's why this puja is very important. And when you do it with understanding, your faith will be very strong. Your spiritual faculty, your virya, sati, samadhi, and panya will be very strong. Then when you make the puja offering with understanding, you develop mindfulness. You develop strong faith. Then you rejoice with a good mind. When you say sadhu, 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 means you rejoice with all the generosity of all the kalamitas who has developed the understanding to make this offering. Then you also develop with their wholesomeness, rejoice with their wholesomeness. So generosity, wholesomeness, and understanding, you should rejoice. Then when you do it mindfully, with every movement, every action, it will help you to train your mind to be more and more mindful, more and more heedful, instead of being heedless most of the time. So these are the important benefits that you can derive from this puja chanting book. Later on also, we will chant the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. So if you take refuge with the Triple Gem, which is the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, you must understand their significance. What do they mean? And the blue book that I had given you all last week, you should read through, because it explains clearly the significance of the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, especially the third gem, which is the Aryan Sangha. What are their characteristics and all this thing. Then you also have these verses on sharing of merit, transfer of merits, the closing puja. All these are there. Then the 4 objects of veneration, they are also there. we chant, when we are on spiritual trip, you will come across these four objects of veneration that the Buddha has recommended. We always chant, Vandami Chetiya Sabham Sabhatanesu Patititang Saririke Datu Mahabohing Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. Means these are the four objects of veneration that we should venerate. First is the Bohi tree. Then the relics of the enlightened being. Then you also have the Chetiya. Then the last one is the Buddha Rupang, where you recall to mind the great virtue and great wisdom of Lord Buddha, the fully enlightened one, so that your faith can be deepened. Yeah. So all these are very wholesome. Okay, now maybe we can have our meditation. Also, in front of you, there's a yellow book. You should go back, read through it. If you don't have a copy, you can take it along. If you already have, you can return it afterwards. The title is A Short Transcript on Understanding Awareness in Every Breath We Take, Every Thought We Create, and Every Move We Make in Cultivation. This was based on a Dhamma talk that I delivered at the Klang Tiratana Buddhist Society NBC building last year, dated 27 November 2015. We didn't transcribe the whole talk because only the Q&A part, which was the part that people are more interested, so it was done and the transcript is ready. Yeah? After, if we have time, we will go through it. Okay, now we can off the light and we can start our meditation. Yeah. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. Yeah. For those who are new, I advise you to go back and read some of this book that teach you how to meditate. The blue book especially, and some of the relevant transcript book, or listen to the recording. Almost every Thursday, the instructions are there. Then you only need to read through the transcript book, which has all the detail. You don't have to remember anything. You just relax body and mind, maintain attention, then silence your mind. If you need to train your mind, you train. If you already have the spiritual faculty, technically, you don't have to train. You can just silence, relax, and meditate straight away. When the spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance cannot arise. Then you can just silent, relax, allow the mind to meditate. Okay, I will ring the bell after about 25 minutes. who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Eh? Then make full use of that trained mind state to develop the meditation. Okay, now we will do the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6. And we will start the invocation. I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and relates Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. I think the battery or the contact had to change the battery. Huh? Now I will chant first. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadaman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vicca charana sampanno sukato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Suakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko Pachatang veditat buvino hiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ucupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yaditang chattari purisa yukani Ata purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu Sadhu. back mindfully to Tripanya. Buddhang Pujjami. Dhammang Pujjami. Sanghang Pujjami. Okay. You can be seated. Relax body and mind. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A and Dhamma sharing. Okay, anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any Dhamma question or do any sharing, you can raise your hand. Then we will pass you the mic. Anybody? As usual, very quiet. Okay, you don't have. Maybe we continue with where we stopped last week. The blue book. You didn't bring. I will read it to you. We stop at page 39, I think. Okay, I'll read from there. Okay, page 39. I was in Singapore recently to visit my daughter and my son there. My son was doing his MBA there at INSEAD University, and I just came back this afternoon, means that Thursday. While in Singapore, I met up with a Singapore Buddhist group, which I think some of you may know them, Sister Arlin and Sister Singhua. Sister Singhua is Eric's sister, Eric Tan's sister. And they got a group of Buddhist friends of Kayanamitas over there too. And I was very surprised when they told me, "You all over in Malaysia are so lucky. See, people envy you." So I asked them, "Why do you think that way?" You know what was the answer or not? They say, "Because to me, I always thought Singaporean was luckier." I said, then I told them, "You look at our government, you look at our ringgit, you look at our economy. How can you say Malaysians are so lucky?" But they told us differently. They replied to me, they said, "Brother Theo, we are not talking about this aspect. We are talking about Dhamma." That's why he said, "You are very lucky." He said, "You all over there, you have many teachers. You all have a lot of good opportunity to learn the Dhamma. You also have a lot of centers where people can go for meditation and retreat. Is it true or not? As a Malaysian, do you think you are very fortunate?" "Oh, actually Malaysians are very fortunate. It's so easy for us. But over there, not so easy," they said. Then one of the Kayamita, Sister Arlene's husband, said, he said he has been working for so long, lives in Singapore for quite a while. Yet he can only retire at the age of 60. And that was also a very tough decision for him. Then because only after that can he start to develop the cultivation and go for retreat. See, they have to wait till they retire. Then when he came to Malaysia for retreat, he saw so many young people participating. He then talked to them and asked, "Why do you all come for retreat at such a young age?" "We Singaporeans, because of society's pressure and situation, have to strive very hard to earn a living. Strive on diligently to make enough money to own a condo that costs them a lot. To own a car is, of course, beyond the reach of many Singaporeans," according to him. Before you can own the car, you must own the paper, a certificate of entitlement, COE, to own a car. And he told me the COE cost them Sing 70,000 ringgit. Sing dollar. And there is about 210,000 ringgit. So in Malaysia, implement that. I tell you, a lot of people will not be able to afford a car. 3 years ago, I bought my hybrid Lexus. It cost me about 190,000 ringgit. So not even enough to pay the paper COE. Then he said, and that is just to have the paper to entitle him to own a car. The cost of a car has not been taken into consideration as yet. And the COE is not a lifetime certificate. Eh? Don't think that once you have that, you can forever own a car. No. It got its maturity. After 10 years life, the COE become waste paper. After 10,000, sorry, after 10 years, the 70,000 Sing is gone. He said, that's why Malaysians are blessed. For they can buy flashy nice car, yet no COE. Then some can get through NASA, no need to pay so much taxes or import duty. These are the things they envy us. Then he said, these young people told him, why do you have to work? They can make their own decision to cultivate any time, to go for retreat any time. So every time, especially school teachers during holidays, they will go for retreat. And then all these young kids, 20 to 30 years old, they can just take leave, take their leaves to go for retreat. Then I said to him, oh, you think it's like that? I said, no. They also have stress. That's why they go for retreat. Mainly because they cannot understand life. And in and out of retreat for so many years, yet when they return to their daily life, their mind states return to square one. They complain. But you all didn't know. He said, I thought they all were very good. Because to him, he saw them can sit very well in a retreat, don't talk and all those things. Okay, then I said, sorry, he said, I thought they were all very good. Then I said, to you, it may appear that way because you look at it from your anger. But for Malaysians, when we look across the crossway, sorry, when we look over the crossway to Singapore, we will say Singapore is very blessed because everything is very orderly, no snatch thief, that is the best. But over here, all sorts of things can just happen, ranging from rape, murder, adoption, and also the Connie's adoption that happened at Bangsar Shopping Center, to many other rather tragic incidences. If you read the newspaper, you will know. They smile. But they still say, Dhamma-wise, Malaysia is still better because you all have got a lot of talent there. Many people go there and give talk, they said. I said, I don't know. That night was the first time I went there and gave a Dhamma talk in Singapore. And there was a monk there in the temple. That temple was a Siamese temple with the name Dhamma Wisdom Center. When I was there, I was so surprised because Siamese temple normally have Buddha statue and all those standard things. But outside this main temple building, next to the gate, there was a very nice Kuan Yin statue. I then realized why I had to go there, because Kuan Yin was there. And my wife also saw, and she also said, hey, there is Kuan Yin. I said, yeah, this Siamese temple is very different. There was a monk inside conducting chanting, and as usual, we were early. So I told them, don't worry, let them finish their chanting first. Then they call me in to join them. I say, it's okay, you all can go ahead. Then after that, some of them went in and joined them. After the chanting, they came out and invited me in. After that, the lady told me, Brother Teo, if you don't mind, Bhante is going to sit through your talk. I said, no problem, it's okay. Then she said, your book, Emptiness. I will give him a copy. Or you want to offer it to him yourself? I said, no need. You can just pass it on to him. This monk was not bad. He was young, but was a very good monk, because he could feel and sense me too. He smiled when he saw me, and I don't think he knew it was me who was going to give the talk. I just went in and paid respect to the Buddha. As I went in, before I paid respect, he looked at me and he smiled to me. Then after I paid respect to the Buddha, I paid respect to him. He had a lot of joy. Then when I started the talk, he listened attentively until the end. After the talk ended, he helped me to do the closing salutation. Yeah, that is Arahang Sammasambuddho, or something. I only did the sharing of merits and transfer of merits. After that, I said to the whole group, after we pay our respect to Triple Gem, we must also pay respect to the Sangha, to Bhante. So everybody paid respect to him and his mouth. He had a lot of joy and he said, Sadhu. I spoke on a very important topic that night, understanding life, its meaning and purpose or intent. And because many of them can appreciate what was shared with them that night, most of them were very surprised, as this was a topic that many people still cannot understand. And my question to them was very simple. If you cannot understand life, then how are you going to live life? Yeah? True or not? Yeah? So do you understand life in the context of a Buddhist who have understood the Buddha Dhamma? And this one you have to contemplate. Eh? Because as a Buddhist who developed the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma, you must have that understanding of the Buddha's teaching, which is the essence of life, the secret of life. When you understand his teaching, you understand life. That's why it's all related. If by now you still don't understand life, then you must have wasted your time. Because the whole of the Buddha's teaching, or the essence of his teaching, is about understanding the secret of life. Remember the Four Noble Truths? Remember the seminal paper that I delivered in Bangkok in the year 2013? And the secret of life contains everything that you need to know about life. That's why it's called a secret. And it covers all of the mundane and supramundane aspects of life. They are all inside there, so beautifully summarized. So when you understand the Four Noble Truths, you understand life. You will understand the five universal order, or Pancha Niyamas, that governs all of life and existence. That's why the scientists can become so good in the scientific field, because they understood the first two nature's law, which are scientific law, namely nature's physical law and biological order of things, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. Hence they progress so fast and civilization evolved so fast because of their understanding. Similarly for Sakyamuni Buddha, because of his great wisdom and cultivation, he penetrated the other three spiritual law. He was like the scientist and he progressed very fast and very far into the spiritual field. That's why his teaching is very unique and it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. And through his teaching, you can understand life. And then you will know how to live life. You don't have to suffer in life anymore. You don't have to worry about life anymore. You don't have to have all those unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, etc. You don't have to get yourself into confusion or entangled with life. All of your insecurity, your fear, your phobia, your worries, your anxiety, they need not arise anymore. And life need not be that way like before when you don't understand life. We did not inquire as to who fear, who worry. The deluded ones that project their thoughts will have fear and worry. Since it's only a thought, how come it has such power over you and can make you so miserable? So these are the very important understanding and contemplation that you have to do. It's only a thought. How come thought has such power over you? That's why you have to reflect. Then when there is fear, worry, anxiety, you must ask yourself, who fear? What fear? When you understand that, fear will disappear. It will cease. Yeah, it is the thought that fear, not you. Your nature is beautiful. Your nature got no delusion like the thought. The thought that is deluded, egoic, will have fear, will have worry, will have all the negative mind states. But your nature, which is beautiful, tranquil, still, peaceful, radiant, will not have all these things. And when we look at life, we should inquire what life is. To live life is to go through time, or they call it existence. But existence is time related. So if you want to understand life, you must understand time. And what is time? You can define time very easily into its three periods of past, present and future, which covers the whole spectrum of time. So this is very easy, isn't it? Of this three period of time, which is the reality. If you inquire, you can understand. The past is already gone, so no more a reality. Future has yet to come, also no more a reality. So the present moment is the only reality in life. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? This is a very important inquiry. It can give rise to great understanding. The moment I tell them the answer, they were in disbelief. You know why? Most living beings, they do not know that they are heedless most of the time. Because they haven't heard of this type of teaching or Dhamma. Then when I explained to them, they were in disbelief. They shook their head. I said, you are all mostly heedless. And because of that, you are too busy thinking, planning, complaining, and worrying about life. So much so you totally miss out on life, and you never live life. When I told them this, they look at me. They couldn't believe. But everything was true. Then they realized all the meditation, all the Dhamma that they learned actually cannot teach them this very important point of life, to understand life. Then they look at themselves and say, oh yeah, that's why. Because living beings are like that. They are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life and complaining about life, arguing among themselves while living life, doing all the funny things that make them miserable and other people miserable. They not only pollute the world, they pollute the consciousness and bring about so much negativity, and yet say, wow, they are fighting for democracy to change the government, etc. But instead they create more negativity, and they are not much different from those who created the mess out of the whole economy. That's why Krishnamurti is very wise, and he said, for the world to change, the individual must change. And this is a very profound statement. Because you don't try to change the world. What is the world? Society is the summation of all the individual, true or not? So the world is the summation of all the consciousness of those beings that live in this world. If the individual doesn't change, the world consciousness cannot change. Understand? That's why no point trying to change the world. The world cannot be changed unless the individual sees the totality and decide to change. It's only when the individual change, the summation of all these individuals can make a difference. But if the individual doesn't change, you only speak out in a very strong manner in the name of democracy, in the name of peace. But all these are born of the selfish mind, deluded mind that has a lot of craving, belief system, conditioning. And this type of mind is not able to develop true peace. So because of that, Krishnamurti said, for the world to change, the individual must change. Then I continue. Just like Vikayana Metta, this part maybe you listen, this one will help you. Just like Vikayana Metta, when we start to understand the Buddha Dhamma, we will change and we will start to become different. You can understand this point there. Yeah? How many of you have come to this understanding? Yeah, you better put up your hand. I think most of you have this understanding. So when you start to understand the Buddha Dhamma, how important this understanding can actually transform your life, bring about great change in you, then you will change. We will change and we will start to become different. We will no longer behave like before, heedlessly polluting the world. We will become more mindful and heedful. This is what I shared with Sister Alicia, which was very beautiful at that time. You will become so different, so wholesome. You will have the Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, so that you can be a blessing to all and contribute to the well-being and happiness of the world. You can improve the consciousness of this world to such a great extent because you are incapable of wrong thought. You are incapable of wrong action and wrong speech. Because of that, you don't create unnecessary suffering, misery, and negative tendency like fear, worry, anxiety, emotional negativity, insecurity, etc. All this will be no more. Not only in you, even in those people whom you disturb or cause affliction and misunderstanding to previously. Instead, now you have love, compassion, and joy. So you see the big difference. Last time when you are heedless, what happened? You become angry, emotional, feel, or you release a lot of this negative consciousness. You not only make yourself miserable, you pollute the world consciousness. Then people around you also affected by you. They also react and become negative like you. Then those who love you, they worry for you. Those who care for you, they actually develop a lot of unhappiness and suffering seeing that you are like that. That's why when you understand all this, you cannot become like before. Then after that, the best is, instead now you have love, compassion, and joy. And every now and then, most of the time, you have this joy in you. That's why you tend to smile a lot more. Then you have a lot of understanding, a lot of loving kindness, a lot of compassion, a lot of gratitude, a lot of contentment, a lot of goodness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. You have all the right speech, right thought, right action, and right way of living life. So all these are the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Once you cultivate the Four Noble Truths, you will have this understanding. Then you become different. You will also have the enlightenment factors with you, the seven factors of enlightenment, sati. Then you constantly investigate the Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya. Then because of that, your faith becomes very strong. Then it drives you. Your virya, spiritual zeal, will arise. Then after that, you will meditate. Then as you become more and more peaceful, more and more calm, more and more wholesome, you have a lot of inner peace, inner well-being. Then you experience piti, which is another enlightenment factor. Then later on, when you continue to relax and silent, you develop pasati, the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then you insight into phenomena, you understand many, many things. Then samadhi come in when pasati stabilize. Then you see things as they are, wisdom arise. Then the last factor of enlightenment, equanimity, will also arise. That's why you become very different. You will also have the enlightenment factor and you will contribute positively to the group consciousness. That's why when we change inwardly, when the individual starts to transform and change, we will have this beautiful nature within that can contribute towards world peace, great harmony, and we can touch the hearts of living beings and help many people to change. When they see how you transform, how your life has improved and changed for the better, your loved one will start to understand you better. Through their observation, they will know that you are now so different. Many Kayanamita have experienced this type of joy, happiness, and transformation. Many, actually. Almost all of them in various degrees. Some beautiful. Yeah. Great transformation. No matter what happens, as soon as you understand the Buddha Dhamma, you will start to have this type of understanding. And the transformation will start to happen. Then you realize your life turn around for the better. You become like more luckier, more peaceful, more joyful, more happy, less negativity. The old way, like slowly, slowly fall away because you start to understand and value your life. You cherish your life. You treasure your life. You realize you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy or miserable is entirely your choice. If you have this Dhamma, you will change. You will change for the better. That's why you will cultivate. You will be diligent. You will transform. Then I continue. I said, it's not I say or they say. It's other people who say it because they saw them change to become completely a different person. Personality-wise, character-wise, they have transformed, become so different. So a lot of this happening can arise because of the Dhamma. That's why the Dhamma is really something very beneficial, wonderful, and beautiful. So this is the teaching that you must make effort to understand, to cultivate, to realize, and to awaken. Otherwise, you would have wasted your precious human life. To be worthy of the Buddha and to be worthy of calling yourself a true Buddhist or a disciple of the Buddha, you must at least heed his advice to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness and purify your mind, and cultivate accordingly to develop the understanding that he has shared with you and the world. See, this is your duty. Understand that if you do this, you become so beautiful. Okay? Then I say, okay, do you have any more questions? We still have 6 more minutes during the talk. Anybody else want to report meditation or ask any more questions? Ah, yeah, Sister Serena, please pass the mic back. We should rejoice with all this good condition to share. Oh, this one was, oh, this is the blue book, no wonder, yeah, it's not the Klang Talk. I thought Klang Talk, how come got Serena asking question? So this one was a Thursday class on 13 August 2015. Important meditation instruction needed to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. Question by Sister Serena. Brother Theo, I want to report my meditation. She said, initially during the middle of it, I was having problem with my nose and having a blocked nose, irritation and nasal. Despite the discomfort and towards the end, I realized that I was in such a still and peaceful state, but only for a few seconds. Good enough. Actually, she came despite her flu. And later on, she said she was very glad she made the decision to come. Then I answered, I said, "Oh, okay, you experienced that peaceful stillness for a few seconds. Then what happened?" Sister Serena said, "I remember that Brother Teo always remind us not to be lost in thought." See? She remembered the instruction, and that one helped her. Then I say, "Ah, yes, to stay heedful, to accept whatever that arises and relax into all my state. So this is what you must remember in meditation, Anasana. Whether it's pain, flu, nasal, blocked nose, or whatever, even itchiness or what, accept them for what they are. You have to be heedful, mindful, patient." So this one is very important, to stay heedful and to accept whatever that arises. Then relax into all my state. Then your meditation will progress. Then maintain silence and be with it, means be with that phenomena. Whether it's the flu or nasal or blocked nose or whatever. When you are with it, what happens? There is no aversion. There is no like and dislike. Means what? There is no mental. Mental hindrance, understand or not? When you react to that flu or nasal or that pain, what happens? You dislike that pain. And what is that mind state? It's a mental hindrance, that ill will, dislike, negativity state. So because of that, it will arise as a hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you cannot meditate. You are gone. Then what you do? You try to move. You try to make yourself not miserable. I always tell you, you come here to meditate, not to torture yourself. Understand? If you sit until you become so miserable, torturing yourself, you might as well go home and have a coffee, or read a book, watch TV and sleep. You come here to train your mind and relax into it, to understand what is going on, so that you can be at peace anytime. That is to develop the understanding and the wisdom, and to train your mind to have the spiritual faculty to overcome the hindrance. And that is what meditation is all about. But people cannot understand, and they are doing the opposite thing. That's why they find it very difficult to progress. Sometimes they become peaceful for a while, especially you go for a retreat or long sitting. But you don't learn anything, actually. You don't learn much. Only during those moments, your mind state will be more calm, more peaceful. Then you think you have progressed. But when you go back to society, back to your daily life, back to life itself, you become like before. Go back to square one. So that's where people feel miserably as far as meditation is concerned. Then I say, if you don't react to what happened, you don't have any mental hindrance. What are mental hindrance? Your reaction to what happened. That's why positive craving is sensual desire. Ill will is negative craving towards that feeling. Like when you say you have nasal, you have all this discomfort. The normal mind will condition you to react. But because you have recalled through mind those sharing that I have given you, and you manage to accept them for what they are, hence at peace with them. Then Sister Serena said, "Yeah, I really was joyful." Then I said, "That's why when you don't have aversion, when there is no sensual desire, ill will, especially ill will, if you don't label it as pain or negativity, this one is disturbing me and I want to meditate, but I cannot meditate." Who said that? The thought. This means a mental hindrance as a reason. Mental hindrance is one. It is a mental state that hinders you from becoming peaceful, aware and silent or mindful within. That's why when you accept that reality of what is, and you don't label it as like or dislike, pleasant or unpleasant, you just accept it as part and parcel of nature's happening, then you will be peaceful. The body goes the way of nature. It will be like that because when condition is not right, it will have this type of reaction. So if I accept it for what it is, and I stay silent, then there is no more mental hindrance. When there is no more mental hindrance, you will not hinder your sati or mindfulness from arising. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware or mindful. That's how you experience the few seconds of deep peace, deep tranquility and stillness. You have to train yourself more and more in this aspect. That's why whatever arises, do not be like normal gullible meditator. The normal gullible meditator will say, ah, today my meditation is not good. They are only concerned with good and bad meditation. They want to have peacefulness and a calm mind. Then they will say, this is good meditation. If the mind is restless, then they will say, this is bad meditation. They think a lot. When they are sleepy, they also label it as bad meditation. And then they cannot meditate. Yeah, this is not what the Buddha teach. This is creating mental hindrance, like and dislike towards those mind states that arise. Then the most gullible one is, they go and label via noting, pain, 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 thinking that this noting is practicing vipassana meditation. They become so gullible. That's why when you don't have understanding, you end up like that, and you somehow say, this is vipassana. I was told to note. Actually, this is creating mental hindrance. Verbalization, thought-based meditation, but they cannot see. Then Sister Serena replied, I'm very grateful I'm here today, even though I was in a rush and it was raining and I was caught in a jam. See, when you have faith, you will make it. Then you will never regret. Then I say, sadhu. That's why as long as you are patient and you have the understanding, all this can happen, can manifest. Thank you so much for your sharing, Serena, and let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We should also rejoice with Christina. She really tried very hard, and she finally made it. And my nature had a lot of joy because I saw her transform. When she was at the Cameron Highland Retreat 2 or 3 years ago, she came and talked to me. Only then I knew about her sad story. I didn't know it was so tragic, difficult and tough for her. She has been a single parent for many years, and because of certain tragedy that happened about 5 years ago, her life was so badly affected. And as a single mother, who was earlier on so dependent on her spouse and her other family member, she all of a sudden, after the tragedy, has to shoulder everything herself via the hard way to salvage her family. And she was also, at that time, having a lot of bad habits. She drank a lot and had late nights because of sorrow, unhappiness and suffering. That's why it was not easy. But she was, in a way, lucky and due to certain good conditions. I think she went to SJBA and met Brother Suyan, who recommended her to attend my meditation classes. She must thank Brother Suyan, who was her savior. They, Brother Suyan together with Mifong, had introduced many people to our Thursday class, and a lot of them were very grateful towards them, and he had helped solve so many of their problems. In SJBA, he was like a consultant for people with problems. And the best was, every time they got problem, he will help me solve those that are not so serious. The serious one, he will advise them to better see me, Brother Teo. Then even Brother Jim, the president of SJBA, also did the same. And there was a case which was referred to me involving a Dato's brother's son. Sri Ananda Mifo brought me to see them, to meet up with them. He advised the Dato, you should go and see Brother Teo. That's why I was very surprised. They told me that the Dato's brother want to see me regarding his son's problem, even though I'm just a lay person. Then Sri Ananda Mifo, my wife and me, went to their house, and it was a good discussion. And they started to understand many things after the sharing with them, some simple Dhamma. So these are the conditions. That's why you must have faith, Sada. Then develop the Virya, then cultivate Sati. Then all this can happen. Not only to them, it can happen to everyone, because Kayamitas are very unique. And the Kayamita Fund and the Kayamita Force are actually ever radiating and supporting you in the cultivation. Then all those great beings, the Buddhas and great Bodhisattvas, their nature are also supporting us, because many of us, Kayamita, also have great affinity with their nature. And because we share and transfer merits with the Dhamma protectors and other beings, they also in return rejoice and supported us and long protect the sasana. And being a Kayanamita, you are also a cultivator of the way. That's why you are part of the Buddha sasana. That's why the Dhamma protector will also protect you. So all this, you have to develop your own understanding. That's why you will come to realize, the moment you understand this teaching and follow the advice of the Buddha and cultivate, your life will change for the better. Radically, you will come to realize you are like luckier, more fortunate, and as if everything is going your way, very smooth sailing. Like Christina used to say, after that, her business, her life, and everything else went on very smoothly. Her understanding enabled her to resolve all her problems amicably and beautifully. You only need to remember one thing, that is, no matter what happened, don't get angry. Don't become miserable. Don't project your thought. Don't become fearful. Calm yourself down. Then look at it with clarity of mind. Then ask yourself, what are your options? Then develop the wisdom to act. Act with noble effopa to resolve everything amicably. And it's just so simple. That's why life becomes simple when you understand. And not only her. Many people tell me the same thing though, even Alicia and many other people. Just like that day, Sister Manyuan also created a list of advice on cultivation that she had learned from me, which I later sent out to my Kayamita website for sharing. She thought she was very cha, in Hokkien cha, a slow learner who doesn't learn anything after attending many of the classes. Then all of a sudden, one day she said, all those understandings just pop up one by one naturally, no need any deep contemplation, and she can just write them down. Then she realized she had indeed learned a lot of things, because these are the understanding that had changed her life. In the past, she used to have a lot of problem while working in Bank Negara. You know Bank Negara, right? Big headache place. Especially now that the currency was under persistent attack until above 4 to a US dollar. When I was not around, it shot through the roof. It hit 4.5 almost. That time I was on holiday, I think. Oh yeah, we were with Sui and Mifong at the Mediterranean trip. We Euro and Mediterranean. We were on a 21-day tour of Europe and the Mediterranean. Then today, you thought the announcement from Bank Negara would be negative. That is, Governor Sethi will resign. But she didn't, and instead she gave quite a good report on the economy. The report was not too bad, because we still have 4.6% growth rate. except consumption has gone down. Hopefully, the consciousness has evolved for the better. So do not perceive anything with negativity. Have faith. Perceive them with wholesomeness of mind. As usual, huh? Oh sorry, I exceeded the scheduled time to stop. So we will end our Dhamma sharing. So every time, overshoot. Tonight, oh, still got a lot of time. 35 more minutes. Okay, at least we finished this book. Huh? So go back, read through again. Actually, the last few pages is the most important. Huh? About how Kayamita transform and how it can benefit you. But if I don't write this down as summary for you, you all will not know what you are doing. But because it's written so clearly, it will wake you up. Then you will change. You will change. Because this is within your reach. Now that you have understood the teaching, you only have to strive on with diligence or heedfulness. Then all this are possible. That's why every Kayamita, you are unique. And you can develop the progress. It's so easy. And many, many Kayamita has actually benefited and progressed very well. So, it's your life. I leave it to you to make your own decision. Okay, any question or not so far on this? Anybody want to ask any question? All understood. No question. Oh, very good. Actually, the transcript help, where it's written. Otherwise, if it's just talk, you cannot retain much, I tell you. Even you can retain, you cannot remember. Then you have to go back and listen again. Then as you listen, you got to whine here and whine there. Pause, listen again. But now with the transcript, you can take your own sweet time to understand the important message. That's why transcript help in a very big way, but provided you make use of it. I realize most people, I don't mean you all, they take the book, flick through, didn't even read, put in the bookshelf, or put somewhere totally forgotten, because given free. And everything that is given free and too easy to get, you don't cherish them. Actually, I tell you, this type of book is very rare, very difficult to come by, this type of teaching. So do not be like foolish as to thinking that it's another Dhamma book. No, these are not ordinary Dhamma book. This one, if you read and develop the understanding, it can become very, very different. And many Kayamita had told me, those serious ones, even that day Michael also told me, and many of them, the serious guys, say, "Prateer, your book, I just read that book, fantastic." And then later, "I just read this book, also fantastic." Because seldom you can find a book or a Dhamma talk where there is so much, so beautiful, penetrative Dhamma inside there. If you don't believe me, you go and find out for yourself. So all these are very, very rare Dhamma that you can hardly find, I tell you. And it's not only the way it's been taught and presented. It is very penetrative. And it can transform living being. Not difficult. Most Dhamma that the Buddhist community gone through earlier on, they are more like scholarly type of Dhamma, traditional Buddhist teaching, where the words are there, the Pali words are there, the English words are there, but not much explanation. They are not clear, and it's not easy to understand them or penetrate them, because they cannot link the teaching. They cannot explain to you clearly what that teaching, and they cannot relate to life. they cannot make it applicable to life. That's why it's very different. To normal people, it appears same, like normal Dhamma. But when you are serious, you read, contemplate, reflect, and put it into practice, then you realize it's so different, so different. Okay? Yeah. So keep that in mind. Huh? You can rejoice. And now we go through this yellow book. Huh? This one is very fast. I think a few pages today. But this one, I like the font. The font very big. You look at the font. You like the font. Short transcript. Understanding awareness in every breath we take, every thought we create, and in every move we make in cultivation. So this is a short transcript from the Q&A section of the recording done during the Dhamma talk delivered by Brother Teo, me, on the 27 November 2015 at Tiratana Buddhist Society, MBC building, Klang, Selangor. This brings about the condition. Tomorrow is another talk there. Tomorrow, Friday. Actually, they requested at least one talk a month. So I tried my best to fulfill that. But I gave at least 8 or 9 talks within the 12 months. So this one was a supplementary added on because Brother Gan wrote to me, then I replied. It took me quite a while. At first, I thought I won't be free. Then condition was such, I was free because I supposed to go to Singapore visit my daughter and my son again. Then when I told them I was going down, my son replied. He said, "Daddy, you don't come, because I'm going back." He already bought a ticket. Oh, I said, "Like that, okay, miss." Klang people are very lucky. So I replied to Brother Gan. I said, "Okay, Friday, this Friday, okay." That's how the talk come about. So this one, you want to develop the understanding of what is samsara. The title of the talk is Understanding Samsara, Cycle of Birth and Death. Then there is another connecting part to it, is it? Understanding samsara and the importance of mindfulness in crossing over to realize the unconditioned or nibbana. So that is the title of the talk. So if you want to understand samsara and the importance of developing mindfulness to realize the enlightenment so that you can cross over to the other shore, so that you can liberate your mind and free your mind from all of these so-called suffering realities that you experience while in samsara, while going through birth and death, the segmented life. So this will be a good talk. Okay. Now we turn to page 1. This is session 2. After the talk, there's a Q&A session. The time is stated there. You go to the recording. It's 1 hour 38 minutes 58 seconds. That is the Q&A. The first question was by Sister Jane's son. The son is quite young, I think, 20 plus. He asked this question. He said, "Just now when Brother Teo talked about meditation techniques, the impression I got was those were just methodology to achieve some kind of principles. But basing on my understanding from my limited knowledge during my time in Buddhism, I understood that the Buddha also taught one technique, which was Anapanasati. How do you reconcile this difference?" You can understand the question, Because actually in the talk, when I delivered, I was trying to explain that the Buddha never teach any method or techniques. The Buddha actually teach Dhamma, which is the truth, the essence of his teaching. Then all this method and technique came later. The Buddha gave object of meditation for you to meditate on. That's why Anapanasati is one of the object of meditation, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Even Buddha Nusati, contemplation on the nine great virtue of the Buddha, that is the object of meditation. Then meditation, meditate on the dead, Marana Nusati. That's why he gives meditation object for you to train your mind, to anchor your mind. And he never emphasized on technique and method. He never. He never say, use this technique. No. He said, this breath, Anapanasati, it is very neutral, suitable for most personality. Yeah. You don't develop fear and all those things. Because different type of meditation object may not be suitable for most people. Like contemplation on death, the nine stages of cemetery, because not everybody can do. Then different people have different tendency. But Anapanasati is very neutral. It's just a breath. And you just have to develop mindfulness of it to anchor your mind, to train your mind. So, Jane San, he got it confused because to him, the Buddha taught Anapanasati. So he thought it's a method, it's a technique. So that's why he asked the question, then how do you reconcile? I answered, I said, this is a very good question. Let us start our inquiry from zero base or clean slate. We are assuming that we don't know anything. That is the best way to start, like a child. You don't know anything. That's why I remove all your conditioning, all of the past learning that you have. Just start from zero base. I want to understand Buddha Dhamma. Then you inquire. Then you reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding. I said, we don't try to be right or wrong. We start by inquiring, what are methods? What are techniques? Can you try to answer this inquiry? What are methods and what are techniques? You try. You read on, you will have the answer. Methods and techniques are just a series of instructions to try to do things. Isn't it? Like they ask you to note rising and falling. What are the instructions? Even our mind sweeping method, we give you a series of instructions. But that is just to train your mind, understand? To anchor your mind, to decondition your heedless thinking. So these are all series of instructions to do certain things. And they got nothing to do with meditation. Understand? Every method, every technique is bound to be different. So what is it for? Because everybody teach differently. Different people teach different method, different technique. It has nothing to do with meditation, isn't it? True or not? All these so-called method and technique got nothing to do with meditation. But what is meditation? Nobody for bar. And all this that they give to you, the noting and all this concentration, focusing, or chanting or whatever, it has nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path. But it serves a purpose. A series of instructions to do something is definitely not meditation. So what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Yes, meditation is to train the mind in heedfulness to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. And within the Four Noble Truths, which of the truth is the meditation? The First Noble Truth explains the prevalence of suffering, the realities of life and existence. And the Second Noble Truth explains the cause of arising of suffering. Then the Third Noble Truth states that suffering need not be. And enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. All these are not meditation, because all these are proclamation of truth, noble truth that can make you noble one. But the fourth noble truth is different. The Buddha said there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Now this is the meditation which can lead to the end of all suffering, which is enlightenment. You meditate to realize enlightenment, true or not, so that no more suffering. And this Noble Eightfold Path will lead to that. So that is the meditation. So whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So can we have this understanding first? Can we have an understanding of this first? This is very important, you know. No? That's why you go and do all those noting or whatever they teach you. Then you experience fantastic mind state. Wow, very calm. You see light. You can read mind. You can do all sorts of funny things. And you think you are enlightened. But you don't have Noble Eightfold Path. Understand? You don't have right view with regards to the law that governs life and existence. You don't even know who you are, what you are. And you don't know that this form and mind is for you to use. A vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world, and it's not you. If you still don't have all this understanding, and you are incapable of having the right view leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, then the what they call right livelihood or right living, then the right effort leading to right mindfulness and right samadhi, you are far away from the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why do not be gullible. Whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to this, you are dead. It's not what the Buddha teach. That's why heedfulness is the meditation. When you are heedful means you are ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. And that is the real meditation. That's why meditation in daily life, that is the real meditation. It is in life that the Noble Eightfold Path fall into place. It becomes relevant to life. Without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot solve your problem. Because this is the path the Buddha said, you cultivate, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Without this cultivation, you can never understand life. You will be deluded. You will get yourself entangled. And you will have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Because you deludedly grasp to the five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that it's you. That's why you cannot liberate your mind. You cannot free. You cannot develop the understanding of the universal characteristic. You cannot insight into phenomena. They are universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. And all these are very clear. Then we go on. Then to reconcile with the part on Anapanasati as taught by the Buddha, we need to inquire further. Is this Anapanasati as taught by the Buddha also a method or a technique for us to train our mind? What did the Buddha mention under the opening statement of the four foundations of mindfulness? The Buddha said, Ekayano ayang bhikkhave mago, meaning, O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for reaching the right path, and for the realization of enlightenment, namely, the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. And this is the real meditation, and the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness include the cultivation of the four noble truths as described under the last category of practice within Dhammanupassana, the last of the fourth foundation of mindfulness, the last or fourth foundation of mindfulness. The fourth foundation of mindfulness starts with Kayanupassana as the first foundation. Then the Thai asked, are you all familiar with the four foundation of mindfulness? The four foundation of mindfulness is for you to cultivate the mindfulness of on the four foundation leading to the awakening. There are four foundations for you to anchor your mind. The first foundation is Kaya Nupassana, which means mindfulness of the Kaya, the physical body. Your breath is part of the physical body. Your rising and falling of your abdomen is also part of the physical body. Your four posture of standing, sitting, walking and lying down are also part of your physical body. The 32 parts, the four elements, they are all parts of your physical body. That is the reason why they are all placed under Kayanupassana. It also includes the 9 stages of bodily or cemetery decomposition of a person who had died. And the first category of cultivation within Kayanupassana, as taught by the Buddha, is to start off with Anapanasati. That is to train your mind to be mindful of the in and out breath. He never said focus or concentrate. He said to train the mind to be aware or mindful, leading to heedfulness. That is the reason why Dhammapada verse 21 said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. That verse states very clearly that you need to have heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. The moment you are heedless, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you are dead, and that is very clear. So you have to understand the importance of heedfulness. Hence, Anapanasati is just to train the mind to be mindful, to be aware, leading to heedfulness. That is the purpose. Then what is heedfulness? The Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23 confirmed that what heedfulness is. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme bond-free enlightenment, which is Nibbana in the here and the now. So what is constantly meditative and what is ever mindful? When you combine these two, they become heedfulness. That's why in order to be heedful, to realize the enlightenment, which is the deathless, you have to be ever mindful. To be ever mindful, you have to train your mind to be mindful. That's why all meditation start that way. That's why the Buddha recommend that we start with Anapanasati to train our mind, to anchor our mind. There is a reason why all methods and techniques are just initial, skillful means to train the mind to be mindful, so that this mind does not wander off and become heedless or lost in thought. Then after you have developed the Anapanasati, the Buddha say, don't continue to do it anymore. Instead, one must move on to the second category of practice or cultivation, which is to develop the daily mindfulness of the four posture: standing aware, walking aware, sitting aware, and lying down also aware. You must develop this mindfulness or awareness until it is very stable. Then after that, after you have done this, you have to connect up all the in-between movement of these four posture. That's why he said you move on to the third category of cultivation, which is daily mindfulness in daily life of all action and movement in between the four postures. And this cultivation is called Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Then you will insight into phenomena as described by me earlier on, to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self or empty nature or existence. You will then have the stability of mindfulness to see your mental intention very clearly. You will have the clarity of mind to understand the spiritual teaching, the essential Dhamma, etc. Then only you can develop the contemplation of the 32 parts of your body, the four elements, followed by the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition. Only then you can move on to the cultivation of the second foundation of mindfulness, which is Vedanupassana, or mindfulness of feeling. That's why you have to move in stages. Then after that, you move on to the cultivation of the third foundation of mindfulness, which is mindfulness of the mind or Cittanupassana. That is mindfulness of the content of consciousness. Then only you can move on to the last or the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is Dhammanupassana, or mindfulness of the essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Starting with mindfulness of the 5 mental hindrances, followed by mindfulness of the 5 aggregates of form and mind, followed by mindfulness of the 6 internal sense bases and the 6 external sense bases, or mindfulness of the 18 sense stream, to develop the wisdom and understanding. Then mindfulness of the 7 factors of enlightenment. then the factors of enlightenment will keep on arising for you to develop the mindfulness of these seven factors of enlightenment. When you are mindful or aware of these seven factors of enlightenment, then you are aware that you are on the right path. That's the reason why under the seven stages of purification, there is this fifth purification of what is path and non-path. That night, last Thursday, I tried to explain to Engby her question. This is the part which is very good. Because if you meditate and there is no factor of enlightenment arising, or only one or two factor of enlightenment arising, then you know you are not on the right path. Understand? Yes, that night she asked about what is the difference between path and friction. When the factor of enlightenment keep on arising, means you are on the path. You have realized the glimpse of Nibbana, but you have not stabilized it. The moment it becomes friction, means you have stabilized it. Means the three fetters or the five fetters or all the ten fetters that you have severed, they have stabilized. It will become very clear. Sorry, this purification can be clearly understood when you are able to be mindful of the enlightenment factors. It will become very clear. Because as you develop mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment, then you realize you are already on the path. You cannot go wrong anymore. Understand? That's why you will know what is path and what is non-path. You know what is non-path or not? The 10 defilement of insight, when you are caught inside there, you think you are enlightened already. But these are called the defilement of insight. They are very good meditative state, but they are not the true practice. If you get yourself entangled and grasp onto all those states, thinking that is enlightenment, then you will be caught. The 10 defilements of insight don't have noble eightfold power, don't have all the enlightenment factor. That's why it's very different. Then after that, you can move on to the last category of mindfulness training, which is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. This is the stage of cultivation where you can become enlightened. Because initially, when the factor enlightenment keep on arising, means you know you are on the right path, then you can realize the path and friction. When you cultivate the last part, which is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. This is the stage of cultivation where you can become enlightened. Four Noble Truths are truths that can make you noble one, enlightened one. They are called Arya Satya. Satya is truth. Aryas are enlightened one or noble ones. Enlightened ones are noble ones who are very noble in their speech. Action and their livelihood and the way they carry themselves. Their action, speech and thought and their livelihood are all very noble. They also have noble understanding of life. That's why they have right views. Then they are very noble in the way they live their life, right living. They constantly cultivate the four right effort to train themselves and to purify their thought. Via their right effort to abandon those unwholesome action, thought, and speech that had already arisen, and later prevent the arising of all those wrong thought, wrong speech, and action, or unwholesome thought, and speech, and action. Then they will have the right effort to purify whatever defilement they have. Then from there, they will cultivate the understanding of what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action, and then they will arise the right effort to promote all this right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in them. Then the last right effort is to refine upon and to perfect all this right thought, right speech, and right action. This is how you cultivate. That is why to cultivate this, you need sti or mindfulness. The next Noble Eightfold Path factor is right mindfulness. That's why you have to train your mind to be ever mindful, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, which includes the Four Noble Truths. When your mindfulness is established, it will become samadhi. Then when sati and samadhi is there, you can see things as they are, and you can insight into phenomena and awaken. That's how wisdom comes to be. That's how your mind transforms and develops equanimity, which is the last enlightenment factor. And this mind that has equanimity does not waver anymore. It doesn't need samadhi to make the mind collected and unwavering. Then that upekkha or equanimity enlightenment factor born of wisdom is enough to stabilize that mind. It doesn't need samadhi anymore. It doesn't need the energy field or concentrated mind to remain peaceful. So this is how you can develop the understanding. Then Sister Jane San asked another question. Just to ask one last question, he said. Thank you for your lengthy explanation just now. Unfortunately, I didn't get past that one. So to him, because he was new. I said, never mind, it's recorded. Then Sister Jane San continued to ask. So regarding step one, the principle we are trying to aim for is mindfulness and heedfulness. Yes, mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Because mindfulness alone, not enough. All those Qigong people, Tai Chi and all those skillful sportsmen, they have mindfulness. But they didn't use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's why it's not heedfulness, understand? They use it to cultivate energy. They store at Tan Tian, develop health and all those things. Nothing wrong with that, it's up to you. But if you don't use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop wisdom, then it is not heedfulness. It is just mindful. Yeah. But mindfulness is already very powerful, very good. It can help many people. Sister Jane San then continued to ask, and one of the techniques is anapanasati, or you can use any kind of method or technique. I replied, any skillful means may be a method or a technique. Anapanasati only comes in later. That's why if you read the Satipatthana Sutta opening introduction, the Buddha always used this word. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you do the Satipatthana practice. Can you understand that? Brother, you understand. It is stated in the Satipatthana Sutta. After overcoming covetousness and grief. So what is covetousness? It is craving or desire. Grief means you can still be unhappy and you still have suffering. That's why without that, if you go into the four foundation of mindfulness without understanding, then you are wasting your time. You must have the initial wisdom, understand? Basic initial wisdom. At least the contemplative wisdom, second turning. Otherwise, you go into the four foundation, you are wasting your time. You cannot understand, I tell you. If you still got all this covetousness and greed, lust, craving, desire, you cannot cultivate. That's why you must have precept first. That is, you do not know what the meditation is. You do not know how to cultivate. These are the initial wisdom you need to develop first, which means you must have the understanding of the essential Dhamma based on the first turning and the second turning of the Four Noble Truths first. This initial wisdom must arise first. The five daily contemplation, you must understand them too. That's why you have to reflect and contemplate and not be deluded by it. That is why the essential Dhamma, like the three universal characteristics, you must understand it at least up to the contemplative level. Then only you can go into the four foundation of mindfulness cultivation. That is why you need right view. From right view, you start. That's why it's all sequenced out within the Noble Eightfold Path. Without right view, you cannot start the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation because right view is the first path factor. You must have right view. Sorry, why must you have right view? If you don't have right view, you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, then you cannot start. When your view is wrong, what happened to your thought process? Your thought will be wrong. Then since thought conditions mental intention that condition your action and speech, so if you have wrong view that condition your wrong thought, then all your action, speech and livelihood will also be wrong. So what is going to happen to your Noble Eightfold Path? It will collapse. That's why you need wisdom, right view. You need to listen to Dhamma to straighten your view. The contemplative wisdom is very important, and the first two turning can also lead to sotapannaship or sainthood. Sotapannaship and sakadagamiship means the first and second stage of sainthood. So this is how you develop the training. That is the reason why Dhamma has three phases. Phase one is pariyatti, the learning of the teaching or the doctrine. That's why you should spend more time understanding this teaching. Then second phase, which is patipatti, is to put this teaching into practice, into cultivation. This is where you develop the actual cultivation. After you have developed this training and awakened, then you get to reap the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. You reap the fruit of your hard work. You get to live the life of a noble one, an enlightened being. These are the three phases of Dhamma. So phase one, you have to develop until very clear contemplative understanding. Then when you put into practice, it's easy. Because when you understand already, you cultivate, save you a lot of time. Otherwise, you're wasting your time, gullible. That's why you have to start with the cultivation of pariyatti, which is the learning of the teaching, the doctrine. Then from there, you should develop the contemplative wisdom. Only then you know how to start the four foundations of mindfulness cultivation. To me, if your five spiritual faculties are there already, then technically you don't have to train your mind. Methods and techniques are not necessary. They are only needed for people who have not developed the spiritual faculties. Like what I said just now, not everybody who comes for meditation already have the spiritual faculty. Most of them don't have, and some don't even understand what spiritual faculties are. What are mental hindrances? Why are they not peaceful? Most of the time, all this understanding are not taught to them. So how can they start to do the meditation? Understand not? All these essential dhamma are not understood, and they straight away go and meditate. Without knowing what is meditation. That's the reason why they have to come out with method and technique, so that their heedless thinking mind can be tamed or anchored. We are anchoring their mind to the object of meditation. They are so heedless and so habitual in their response to sense experience. They think a lot, and their thinking are so fast and so habitual. That's why when they try to be mindful of their breathing or in and out breath, within split second, they are lost in thought. Unless they have already trained their mind, otherwise it is not easy. You can go and try it out yourself, experience it yourself. If you can't even maintain your mindfulness for 5 seconds or longer, then how can you be ever mindful in the midst of life? If during formal meditation also you cannot maintain that mindfulness, then in the midst of your daily life, when your senses are fully operating, you will be worse off. God bless you if you think you can do it. That's why you need to train this heedless mind. It's not easy, but when you understand, it's not difficult. The problem is when you don't understand, it's like very difficult. But the moment you understand, it's so easy. That's why if you ask me, I will say it's very easy. It is very simple. But if you don't understand, you will say, Brother Teo, I have tried so hard, but I still cannot do it. Then why certain Kayamita who are here only for 3 or 4 months, they can get it? And their mind can transform so fast. These are people who may not necessarily meditate very seriously, but because they listen attentively and they understand what is being shared, then without doubt and with their faith, they just follow simple instruction and do accordingly. Then they got it. Just like last night, that boy was fantastic, isn't it? He must have his past. And he will move very fast. He texts me later on and say, Brother Teo, thank you so much for that sharing. And I need you to guide me further. According to him, he has this inner call for him to go into this spiritual teaching. Then I smile and I reply, I say, it is your affinity with the Triple Gem, especially with Sakyamuni's nature, that makes all this possible. When the time comes, when the condition has arisen, everything will fall into place. And you will just happen to be there. Then he understand. That was his first lesson. Nobody taught him. Before that, he doesn't even know any Dhamma. He's a Christian by faith. Yet all these are possible. Rejoicing from the floors. Then one last question from Rate. I think it was mentioned in Buddha Gosa's book that there is just suffering, but there is no one suffering, and there is no traveler along the path. It's just path, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. But in the Heart Sutta, it was mentioned by the Buddha that there is no Noble Eightfold Path, no Four Noble Truths, no arising or ignorance, no cessation, nor is there wisdom. Can you explain how these two can reconcile? Oh, 10:30, we better stop here. we stop here. I said, very good question, and Sadhu, it's very easy to understand. You must not miss this line. That's why when you read Heart Sutta, the first line, in true emptiness, you miss this one, you cannot understand. You must have penetrated true emptiness. Then only that statement holds true, because these are the unconditioned Dhamma. Okay, we stop at page 14. Then we will continue maybe next Thursday. Oh, 2.5 pages only, very fast. Okay, you go back and read. Yeah, you can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So all this will help you a lot in the understanding of cultivation, and it speed up your cultivation. Then with the retreat coming, a lot of you will progress. But this retreat, make full use of it. Then attend the 5th March briefing. This coming next weekend. 5th is Saturday, I think. I will give you the program. Then those who don't have the Heart Sutta, you can have a copy. And bring along your Heart Sutta and the program sheet. Then the chanting book also, make sure you collect a copy. We have another one coming out, the retreat version. That one is thicker and cover most of the sutta that we need to share in the retreat. Okay? All these are printed by Kayamita Fund, so you don't have to pay. It's all given free. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, invoke blessing for nation. Then you make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed ones and those who can receive them. Itang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Itang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Itang menya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them. And may they all to be well and happy always, invoking blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Then now you make aspiration. Ipmina punya kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of all these merits which we have thus acquired, may we never follow the fools or the heedless. but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. There we end.
Tuesday and then 7 p.m. is the chanting.